ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड Lord Vamanandev, the Dwarf Incarnation, text 5. Shronayam, Shravanam, Dvadasyam, Muhurte, Bhijiti, Prabhu, सर्वे नक्षत्रां तराजाः चक्रुः तज्जन्मां दक्षिणां। श्रोणायां श्रवणाद्वा दश्याम् श्रोणायां श्रवणाद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते विजिति प्रभुः, मुहूर्ते विजिति प्रभुः, सर्वे नक्षत्रतराद्याश्च, सर्वे नक्षत्रतराद्याश्च, चक्रुस्तज्जन्मदक्षिणाम्। श्रोणायां श्रवणद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते विजिति प्रभुः, सर्वे नक्षत्रतराद्याश्च, चक्रुस्तज्जन्मदक्षिणाम्। श्रोणायां श्रवणद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते विजिति प्रभुः, सर्वे नक्षत्रतराद्याश्च, चक्रुस्तज्जन्मदक्षिणाम्। श्रोणायां श्रवणद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते विजिति प्रभुः, सर्वे नक्षत्रतराद्याश्च, चक्रुस्तज्जन्मदक्षिणाम्। Mataji, Shronayam, when the moon was situated in the Shravana, lunar mansion, Shravana Dvadasyam, on the 12th lunar day, of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, the day famous as the Shravana Dvadashi. Muhurte, in the auspicious moment, Abhijiti, in the first portion of the Shravana lunar mansion, known as the Abhijit Nakshatra, and in the Abhijit Muhurta, occurring at midday. Prabhu, the Lord, Sarve, all, Nakshatra, stars, Tara, planets, Adya, beginning with the sun and followed by the other planets, Chakru, made, Tat Janmam, the birthday of the Lord, Dakshinam, very munificent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On the day of Shravana Dvadashi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion, Shravana, at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets, from Sun to Saturn, were munificently charitable. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, an expert astrologer, explains the word nakshatra taradhya. The word nakshatra means the stars. The word tara in this context refers to the planets, and adya means the first one specifically mentioned. Among the planets, the first is Surya, the sun, not the moon. Therefore, according to the Vedic version, the modern astronomers' proposition that the moon is nearest to the earth should not be accepted. The chronological order in which people all over the world refer to the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, corresponds to the Vedic order of the planets and thus circumstantiates the Vedic version. Apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously, according to astrological calculations, to celebrate the birth of the Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Deshitarim Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirveta Gadadara Shosari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shravanavyam Shravanad Vadasyam Muhurte Bijiti Prabhu Sarvenakshatra Taradyas Chakrush Tajjanma Dakshinam. On the day of Shravana Dvadashi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana, at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from Sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. In this verse, the astronomical position of the stars at the time of appearance of Lord Vamanadev has been given. It is important to note that throughout the Vedic scriptures, namely Puranas and even other corollary scriptures that are either directly the Vedas themselves or Darshanas also and Upanishads. Practically everywhere we will find some kind of astronomical mention of a certain type of event that has taken place in the relationship to the nakshatras or the planetary positions. So this is not coincidental. This is something that is very essential, as we would find while reading all these different scriptures, that this particular event had taken place at a certain time and of course at a certain places. So all these different indicators of the certain appearances of the events, or in like in this case the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, refer and point to very highly developed astronomical knowledge that people had since time immemorial. Astronomy is one of the very important branches of science that we can use nowadays to confirm, like in this case, the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva, or we can refer to the appearance and existence of Lord Krishna or anybody else, or specifically even any particular event that has taken place. As we know, some Shraddha ceremonies that are mentioned within the Srimad Bhagavatam or within Mahabharata, certain type of rituals that had been performed at various times, at various places again. And in this way, we can understand that none of these events or none of these personalities, or especially Supreme Personality of Godhead, have appeared just by some coincidence. They all have a purpose of their appearance, of course, as everything else in this world, and they appeared at a certain time, at a certain place. So in this way we can trace what that time also is. There are many softwares nowadays, computer softwares, through which we can trace such kind of position of those different planets. And it serves also to the devotees as the evidence of such kind of events taking place. In the ancient times, astronomers, they all accepted the age of the beginning of Kali that had happened at the exact time which is mentioned in the Mahabharata. And since then they have been calculated very correctly all the different planetary positions at a certain time. So if you also use such kind of calculations, and we trace those different planetary positions, understanding exactly where they were at a certain time, then we can understand that all of those events definitely had taken place at a certain times that are mentioned within the scriptures. So therefore there is no any confusion whether some events took place or whether some personalities appeared or not. It is all very clearly, in this way we may say, scientifically presented. So when we talk about all these different rituals that has been there, then one may wonder, as some modern Indologists or people who don't recognize the Vedic scriptures as authorized, or specifically Puranas, then why would all these different details be mentioned in such a precise manner within the scriptures? Why would anyone in the first place give such kind of details, such kind of precise descriptions of the planetary positions at a certain moment, As we know, like when different types of eclipses would occur, then people would know about it. And they would go to the holy places where they would take shelter of that holy place not to be contaminated by such kind of inauspicious events. So that was very clear, practically as we can say, since time immemorial, that people knew the science of the astronomy. And we know that Srila Prabhupada was also very keen to present this science of astronomy to the modern world as something that is authorized, and that also confirms all the stories, as we said, and all the pastimes and all the events that are given within the scriptures. So that there is no question of some kind of mythology or some kind of, you know, even when we connect anything to it as devotional service, as the process which is not a valuable process or authorized process. So for this very reason, Srila Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to present this science of the astronomy, and even including astrology as well, within the temple of the Vedic planetarium that is now being built, of course, as we all know, in Mayapur. Prabhupada very specifically wanted devotees to present the scientific evidence about the eclipses, about the moon's phases, about day and night, about the seasons, all the natural basic phenomena that exists, that is there, but from the Vedic scriptures. And this has been successfully accomplished, and it will be hopefully very soon presented, so that anybody coming to Mayapur will have a direct personal empiric experience of what the Vedic knowledge and scriptures are presenting in terms of the universe, in terms of all these natural phenomena that is taking place, so that they will also gain faith in the scriptural references that are given describing many other features of the sum total practically human existence, and therefore mainly devotional service or the practice of our linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there is still very strong notion that the difference between the Puranic knowledge and the astronomical knowledge or Jyotish knowledge given in the scriptures. Many times the modern Indologists or some so-called scientists or even people in general would have that attitude of accepting sometimes the knowledge given in the Siddhantas, which are mostly astronomical treatises, and then reject the knowledge which is given in the Puranas. So this is something that is Artha Kukuti Nyaya, that means the logic of a half hen. Taking something that they consider appropriate or valuable and discarding something that they don't. So as we know, this is something that is just not acceptable. It is just something that won't yield the complete fruit of any kind of such kind of any kind of application of the Vedic knowledge as such. Because if we reject the Puranic knowledge, where we do have descriptions of different geographical positions of the planets and what happens on those planets and so many other details which seem to such kind of personalities very fantastic, and then we are just left with some kind of technical descriptions of those same planets, their positions, their orbits, then we won't have a complete picture and we won't practically have any benefit out of this. So just having some kind of theoretical or some kind of technical understanding that is presented within the Vedic scriptures is not going to be beneficial for anyone. And of course, it is also pretty much inoffensive. In a sense, then we reject altogether everything that is in relationship to the devotional service. So therefore, if you understand that
Siddhantas and the Puranas, they're both valuable. And there are no contradictions. Because the whole point is that they're complementing each other. It's just the question of the view. It is just the question of knowledge through which we can then understand how they're complementing each other and how they are practically non-different in many ways. Because what is interesting also, that Siddhantas, which were 18 earlier known, nowadays we have very few. Varaha Mihira, he was one of the known astrologers of the Avanti province, sometimes living in the 5th century, he compiled Pancha Siddhantika using 5 Siddhantas. And then there has been one, the most prominent one, Surya Siddhanta, upon even which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has made his comments, called Siddhanta Shiromani. So, all of those Siddhantas, many of them are found in the Puranas themselves. Like we know that in Vishnu Dharmottara Purana, Matsya, and I think even Varaha Purana, Siddhantas are there. So Siddhantas means just straight, direct astronomical references about the planetary positions and calculations. It's just there in the Puranas themselves. So how can we say that, you know, Siddhantas are something different and the Puranas are something different? Whereas we find both descriptions in the same scripture directly. And of course, there are many other details that they discuss and they describe, which are exactly referring to the same points. So therefore, there is no question of such kind of division, you know, accepting something that we think plausible and rejecting something that we don't think. This would be something similar kind of to the notion that is going on, that the Vedic scriptures are authorized and the Puranic scriptures are not authorized. The big discussion, whether Puranas are authoritative or not. And we just accept the Vedic scriptures. This has been all very strongly imposed by the people who had certain types of agendas. And not by the real followers of the Vedic Sanatan Dharma at all. So therefore, some of those who just consider the Vedic knowledge to be appropriate and authorized to be followed, and then reject the Puranic knowledge, they also end up, as I said, essentially without anything. Because Vedic knowledge nowadays cannot be followed, cannot be put into practice, if there is no understanding of the Puranas, because the Puranas are the practical application of the Vedic knowledge. It's almost impossible. And this is why even in this age, specifically in Kali Yuga, even in terms of worship of the deity, the Pancharatrik texts are more important rather than, you know, the Vedic texts. Because it's so difficult, it's practically impossible to apply them and therefore get any result. So just some kind of theoretical intellectual exercise and studies of such kind of Vedic scriptures don't give any practical results. And this is something that definitely would be in the realm of modern academia, just studying certain type of information without any kind of applying principle behind. So again, that same notion, you know, it is present, it is pretty much prevalent within this world, that something that we consider appropriate, we can accept, and then something that we just don't understand, we consider inappropriate, and that therefore unauthorized. So this is that wrong notion, and as I said, it is just because of ignorance since people don't understand how both Siddhantas and therefore Puranas are related. We see in our tradition, Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, that many of the devotees have been the great astrologers and therefore great astronomers. We know when before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there was his grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, he predicted his appearance. So he knew astronomy very well. As I mentioned already, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he wrote his own commentary on the Surya Siddhanta. And so many other devotees have been very well conversed about the astronomy and astrology as well. Of course, the difference is that astrology is the more descriptive or detailed understanding of the certain influence of the planets in a certain type of position, whereas the astronomy is just direct calculation, just the process itself through which we can understand where the planets are at a certain given time. So all of the acharyas, therefore, not to some degree or other, had some at least appreciation, if not knowledge, of the astronomy, which is just inherent part of the Vedic scripture. It's not something that is separate from it. And it is, as I said, pretty much substantiated in the Puranas, giving more details and more understanding about it. It's practical application. So when we hear and read here Srila Prabhupada pointing out that how even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he said he was an expert astrologer as well. And then he was explaining here, he said that the nakshatras, Srila Prabhupada is giving his commentary here, that nakshatras refers to the stars and the tara to the planets, and when they all aligned in a certain position, that at that moment Lord Vamanadeva appeared. So the dead appearance was very, very auspicious, and all the planets, therefore, were very, celebrative kind of, because it was such an auspicious moment, and they were so happy that the Lord had appeared. So we see that, therefore, the knowledge of the astronomy, it is very essential, because it establishes the value of the Puranic text as well. The only point is to try to gather more knowledge about it in order to appreciate it. Because again, if you just discard on those bases that something is kind of not understandable, then that is not a science. Then again, as I said, this is that philosophy of Artha Kukutinyaya, something that is inappropriate, and it doesn't yield any practical result. So when the Lord appears, as we see here by the descriptions, we understand immediately everything about His nature, everything about His qualities. Because even through such kind of planetary positions, we can understand that since everything was all auspicious, then all the wonderful qualities that are described by those kind of planetary positions are definitely manifested in such kind of personality who had appeared in that such in that kind of a moment. So when Lord Vamanadeva appeared, so therefore all the most wonderful, as I said, qualities have been manifested. Of course, they're manifested always within the Krishna, but just for our understanding, in relationship to that, those kind of planetary positions, we can understand how that is confirmed by that very planetary position. It is interesting to note that when we read about different stories in the Puranas, what is actually taking place, it is the very relationship between the planets. When Surya and Rahu, for example, they don't agree and they have some kind of a conflict going on. We know the eclipse is taking place. Same thing with the moon. And there are so many different other planets that are there. They have their own conflicts, like Shukracharya, Brihaspati. And there are so many interesting stories in the Puranas. And when we read those stories, then actually we can understand if somebody else had such kind of a position in his chart, that one planet who is inimical towards another, they're situated at a certain place and having certain kind of influence upon each other, then we can understand that we will also have similar kind of manifestation of those kind of qualities or symptoms or conflicts or benefits within our life. So just by understanding, therefore, these Puranic descriptions of the certain influences of the planet, we can understand how they affect us as well. In a sense, not directly affecting us, but just pointing out to the manifestation of our karma, which is going to be manifested at that certain time when those planets are present in such kind of a position. So, but for the Lord, even though things might be the most inauspicious in a sense, but even then, just by his appearance at any moment, he makes everything auspicious. That is also something that is very unique to the Supreme Personality only. So even though things might be looking inauspicious, but he makes everything the most auspicious. One of the interesting examples, of course there are many, is like when Arjuna faced so many of his relatives, he faced so many of his friends and teachers, and he said to Krishna, my arm is, left arm is trembling, my mouth are dry, my hairs are standing on the end. He described so many different symptoms, and he described them. He said they are all inauspicious symptoms. Therefore, it points out that all this war is going to be very inauspicious. And this is why he expressed his opinion that actually I shouldn't fight, because I don't see any benefit out of this kind of battle. Of course, we won't go into the past, how everything has been already pre-planned and pre-arranged and ready for the battle. But at that moment where Arjuna saw his teachers and grandfather and relatives and friends, he began experiencing all these inauspicious symptoms. And he said to Krishna, expressing that, I'm not going to fight, because definitely there's going to be very, very inauspicious results. So we may think that because all these inauspicious symptoms have been manifested, then therefore whole battle of Kurukshetra would have been inauspicious. So according to the science of omens, sure, in that sense, yes, the whole battle would have been inauspicious, but we forget who is there next to Arjuna. It's Krishna. And when Krishna is there, then everything becomes all auspicious. So sometimes devotees also get caught up with so many, if they get too deeply into astronomy and auspicious time, inauspicious time, but then we are forgetting the most important factor. Like we know, there are five factors of every action, which is Paramatma, which is Krishna. And if Krishna is there, meaning us being Krishna conscious, then there is absolutely all auspiciousness present. So we know at the end of the battle of the Kurukshetra, everyone benefited. Everything ultimately was all auspicious. And as Sanjaya said at the end, whenever Yatra Geshwara Krishna Tatra Parto Dhanurdhara Tatra Shri Vijaya Buddhir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama, wherever there is Arjuna and Krishna, there is always victory, opulence, extraordinary morality. Everything is all auspicious. So there is no question of inauspiciousness. Of course, nowadays astronomy, astrology, and healing, it is said in Kali Yuga, these are the occupations of the Brahmanas, that Brahmanas are mostly taking to. And we see that that is a fact, but devotees are using this for the positive results and the positive causes, using for preaching and reaching out to people to present Krishna consciousness. But this is essentially not considered such a high class occupation as the occupation of the Brahmana. But it can be useful, as everything else can be useful in the spiritual life. So astronomy is essential feature for many reasons, and we can use it in Krishna consciousness to present the Krishna consciousness and benefit people or expose them to become purified. So whether something again inauspicious or auspicious, when Krishna is there, it becomes all auspicious. Now very soon, Purushottam month is coming, right? If you know the story of the Purushottam, he was considered the all inauspicious. And the smarta brahmanas would say, don't do anything during that time because it's very, very inauspicious. But we know actually Purushottam month is the all auspicious. It's all auspicious month. We do anything devotional, it will be multiplied so many times, even more than during the month of Kartik. Why? Because again, it is in connection to Krishna, it is. It is Krishna, basically. And then, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, it was considered very inauspicious because of the lunar eclipse. But because he appeared, again, everything became all auspicious. But just by his presence, he made everything all auspicious, everything most wonderful. Or Krishna, when we talk about Krishna, Krishna is also dark, blackish, which is not considered so attractive. But because it's Krishna, it is the most attractive. Here also, we will just read quickly, we skipped a few verses which didn't have purport. Lord Vamanadeva is described as blackish in complexion. But he was the most beautiful. Who is Lord Vamanadeva? Lord Vamanadeva is the, we can say, epitome of the Krishna's quality of beauty. You know that Balaram, Mohini Murti and Vamanadeva, they're representing that beauty, quality of the beauty, and the most manifested way compared to all the other expansions, which manifest other qualities. Of course, Krishna represents or manifests all of those simultaneously. So, it's all beautiful, all auspicious, all attractive. Interestingly, Lord Vamanadeva, he's simultaneously his Manvantara and Lila avatar. It's interesting that he appears within one day of Brahma. Anybody knows how many times he appears? Like Lord Varaha appears 2 times, Matsya 14 times. So Vamanadeva, this information is given by Manu Maharaj. He said that he appears 3 times in a day of Brahma. So that's interesting. And he also mentioned that he's kind of a Yuga avatar also. So kind of Lila Yuga and Manvantara avatar simultaneously, or depending on the purpose of appearance. So he appears at various times. So he's the very beautiful and very attractive expansion of the Supreme Personality. And we know that along with Lord Ramachandra, Lord Nisimhadev and Krishna, he is Swayam Bhagavan. He is directly Swayam Bhagavan. So Lord Vamanadev here, as it is described, he appears in the fortnight, bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, which comes sometimes end of the August or beginning of the September, depending. So that is the time when he appears. And everything becomes most auspicious. But only for those who are not the devotees, definitely, then everything becomes inauspicious. And we know there is a story in Vamana Purana that when Bali Maharaj conquered the kingdom of Indra and rooted all the demigods and just assumed the throne, and he started performing Ashwamedha Yajna. And in the third month, there were some inauspicious symptoms that had started appearing. All the demigods lost their luster. The strength began to wane. Inauspicious omens become appearing. And Bali Maharaj became very perturbed. I'm performing Ashwamedha Yajna. What is going on? And all the demons were also very disturbed. So what Bali Maharaj did, he thought of his grandfather, namely Prahlad Maharaj, and he, since he is the most senior and experienced, he went to him and inquired, what is it? What is happening? I'm performing Ashwamedha Yajna. Everything is supposed to be all auspicious. We have made all the precautions and arrangements for the successful completion of the Yajna. And now all these inauspicious omens are appearing and manifesting. And then Prahlad Maharaj closed his eyes and went into meditation and tried to understand what is it, the reason for it. And then he saw and he understood that actually Lord Vamanadeva, or his most worshipable Lord, is present within the womb of Aditi, and that he is going to appear very soon. And then he said to Bali Maharaj, he said that the Lord Vishnu, he is just about to appear. And this is the reason for all these apparently inauspicious omens to manifest. And upon which Bali, because he considered it inauspicious, of course, at that moment. So he said, who is Vishnu? We have such a powerful army. Who is he? He can never stop us to, you know, rule the whole universe. And of course, Prahlad Maharaj, being a devotee, he responded very quickly. He said, I'm cursing you because of such an attitude towards Lord Vishnu. I'm cursing you that you're going to lose this whole kingdom that you're so eagerly trying to, you know, rule over and benefit from. I'm cursing you that you're going to lose practically everything. But I'm also simultaneously giving you a blessing that you're going to become a very wonderful devotee of the Lord. So this is how apparently that contradiction of Bali Maharaj being favorable and unfavorable, kind of, or unfavorable and favorable towards Vishnu, is resolved, because simultaneously this is how he knew about Lord Vamanadev, and how he, being a demon, still surrendered everything to Lord Vishnu, in spite of, as we know, the whole story will be unraveled later on through the whole pastime with Shukracharya. So therefore Lord Vamanadev is just such a, just by appearance, such a wonderful personality. And you know, another story linked to it, it's of course the sister of Bali Maharaj. She was so attracted to him, and who wouldn't be attracted? As he said, he's the epitome of all the beauty. She was so attracted. As Krishna, he's Madan Mohan. Even Cupid is attracted to him. And even gopis, they would curse Lord Brahma for creating eyelids that they couldn't see Krishna properly. That they were prevented, distracted by it, of drinking Krishna's beauty. So she also, the sister of Bali Maharaj, she was so attracted to that wonderful boy, Brahmana boy, Dvarsish Brahmana boy, that she was so attracted that she developed those motherly feelings towards her, towards him. Of course, later on when Bali Maharaj was kind of cheated, then then she became very upset and inimical. So this is how we have the story of Putana. She manifested, she appeared as a Putana later on. So Vamanadev, as it says, any other expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whenever they appear, this is the proof that everything becomes all auspicious. Everything becomes the most wonderful. Even though if initially it might not appearing so. But everything is all wonderful. Everything is becomes very auspicious. You know, now there's anybody claiming to be an avatar, they can just see whether the world is becoming all auspicious or things are going in a whole different direction. It's a very simple test for anyone who is claiming to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Lord Vamanadev presented special lila, special pastime that we can relish. And as we know, Krishna appears, of course, to relieve the anxiety and separation from his devotees. So he performs all these wonderful pastimes to reciprocate with that devotion. And interestingly, those three steps, they're also very simple steps towards the perfection, towards the, like Bali Maharaj, who achieved everything, you know, the perfection of devotional service by surrendering everything to the Lord. So just through the means of the three steps, so those three steps of Lord Vamanadev are sometimes described or related to the three simple syllables that we are also chanting, namely Hare, Krishna and Rama. Only through these three steps or three syllables, everyone can achieve the absolute perfection in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is one interesting pastime that Srila Prabhupada would compare to Lord Vamanadev, because when devotees were trying to get the permission for the Ratha Yatra festival in New York, it was very difficult. And since 1962, the mayors, whoever had been, they always refused everyone who would approach them with any kind of permission for any kind of festival, for various reasons. And then it seemed practically impossible to receive a permission for the Ratha Yatra festival. But then one devotee, Toshan Krishna, he somehow managed to get the permission, and he came in front of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was just amazed. In wonder he exclaimed, that, "How is it possible? How did you get it? How did you get permission to that we can have a Ratha Yatra festival?" So then he said that when he approached and wrote the letter of request, he said that he just simply wrote three carts pulled by rope. That was it. Three carts pulled by rope. And then Prabhupada started laughing. He said, this is in our sampradaya. This is the mood of our sampradaya. He said, in the similar way, Lord Vamanadev cheated Bali Maharaj. Because he wrote, three carts pulled by rope. So cart means something small, you know, like children sometimes pull little carts or something, or this vendor carts or something. It seems like something very insignificant. But actually, they didn't understand how big and grand the Ratha Yatra festival is. So Prabhupada was laughing. He said, this is the mercy of Lord Vamanadev. This is our sampradaya. So like this, Lord Vamanadev, he is very attractive, very effulgent, and I will keep on hearing about him. And I will just, since time is almost done, I'll just quickly read, we just missed few verses that are describing his beauty, but there are no purports here, so I will just quickly read to them. Verse number 2, the body of the Supreme Personality of God had blackish in complexion, but free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful, and on his bosom was the mark of Srivatsa. He wore bangles on his wrists, almonds on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle belts decorating his lotus feet. Text 3. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. Then the Lord appeared, wearing the Kastuba gem on his neck. His effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of the Prajapati Kashyapa. Text 4. All that time there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water, like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upperly planetary systems, in outer space and on the surface of the earth were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and the hills and mountains were all filled with joy. So everybody was very, very happy and satisfied when the Lord Vamanadev appeared, being so attractive and displaying all these wonderful qualities. So we'll stop here if there are any questions and comments. Oh yeah, there's a whole description, Srila Prabhupada pointing out how the sun comes before the moon. Sunday, anyway, it's another astronomical point, but... And that is there, if you consider the plane of Bhumandala. If you understand that this is the way things are presented in the Puranas, that sun comes first, then the moon. All the moon is closer in terms of the orbit, which is beyond our planet. And the sun is more distant in that sense. But in terms of Bhumandala plane, sun comes first, then the moon, and then the other planets. Anyway, just in short. Okay, there are no... Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. Thank you very much for wonderful class. You said there are five factors for every action. One you mentioned, Paramatma. So, what are rest?
Senses, time, activity, and the place. If I'm not wrong, I think, and Paramatma, these are five. That is in 18th chapter, yeah. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, beginning of 18th chapter. 18 point? Five, yeah, five, okay. Yeah, is that okay? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.